In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst. So this is an old story, so you may have heard it before, but I've never said it here before, so we're going to start with this. It's timely for today's message. Once there was a man who felt his difficulties, sorrows, temptations, and troubles were far too much for him. And he cried out to God about the unfairness of his life, and he demanded to be relieved of his cross. One day our Lord appeared to him and asked, "Do you wish to receive a different cross?" And the man quickly nodded. So the Lord said, "Follow me." They spiritually ascended the heights, flying toward a massive cross, the one true cross that our Lord bears upon his shoulders, a cross so great that it filled the entire cosmos and bared the weight of all creation. And upon this great cross, in a tiny corner, on a little speck of an edge of a splinter, there was a room. And in that room, the Lord and the man entered. Inside the small room were many crosses of various shapes and sizes. Some crosses were heavily splintered, and some had thorns poking in every direction. "Everyone who follows me must bear their cross," the Lord said. "But for you, I will let you pick whatever cross you'd like." The man searched the room, testing the weight and the coarseness of the crosses. And what surprised him is that all the crosses were impossibly heavy. Even the ones that were not much bigger than his hand were so dense that he could barely get them to budge. Lifting them was out of the question. And after testing nearly every cross in the room, the man was beginning to lose hope. All the crosses were too rough and too heavy. And at last he found a tiny cross that had been sanded quite smoothly. It fit into the palm of his hand, and while it was heavy, he was able to bear its weight. And he turned to Jesus with a smile. "Is this the cross you want?" our Lord said. And smiling, the man nodded his head. "Are you sure?" asked the Lord. The man again nodded. And the Lord said, "But that's the cross you've always had." In today's gospel, we hear the words that the priest says as he places a cross around the neck of a newly received member of the church. "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." It's both a blessing and it's a challenge for the newly illumined Orthodox Christian. And just as in the story of the cross room, we must all bear a cross. But how is this done? Well, in our gospel reading, our Lord tells us exactly how it's done. What are we to aspire to? To come after him. How are we to accomplish it? Well, he gives us three instructions. First, he says we must deny ourselves. What does that mean? Some may think that it means deprive ourselves. Perhaps it means to not do things we would have otherwise done if it were that were just pleasurable, but maybe not profitable. But depriving ourselves is not the understanding of the church and the understanding of the church's definition of the word deny. The word deny in this passage is the same word that was used to describe Peter's denial of Christ after his arrest when he said, "I do not know the man." So deny in this context doesn't mean deprive ourselves so that we can follow Christ. It means to not know ourselves. In other words, we are not to think about all the things we won't be able to do because we follow Christ. Instead, we shouldn't be thinking about ourselves at all. Denying ourselves means living every moment for Christ and not for ourselves. So then next the Lord says, take up your cross. Christ is telling us that the path towards our salvation requires a cross. On the surface, this looks very grim. The cross is an implement of torture and of death. It implies a burden too great to bear. It brings visions of Jesus falling while carrying his cross and of his sufferings on the cross. However, what it is that the church says about the cross is this. We just sang this apologetic for the feast, and by the power of thy cross, preserving thy commonwealth. The cross has power. When we pray, we bless ourselves with the sign of the cross. Moses formed the sign of the cross with his staff when he parted and restored the Red Sea. Armies have marched into battle under the banner of the cross. In the expostellarium for the feast, which we sang in Matins, it says this, the cross is the preserver of the entire universe. The cross is the comeliness of the church. The cross is the might of kings. The cross is the steadfastness of believers. The cross is the glory of the angels and the sting of Satan. In another one of those paradoxes of orthodoxy, the cross is mourning, but the cross also is joy. This paradox of joyful mourning is something the fathers of the church speak a lot about. Mourning for the fallen state of the world and for the sacrifice our Lord made on the cross, but joy because of the knowledge of Christ's victory over death. So now that third requirement, follow me. What this third part of the equation forces us to do is to not be the leader. I know that's a hard thing. I don't know about you, but I love to drive. I do not love to be the passenger. Even if I'm so tired that it is at the point of risk, even and perhaps especially if I don't know where I'm going, I want to be the driver. On the road to our salvation, there can be only one driver. The path must be the one laid out for us by Jesus. This is different, though, than the popular country song, Jesus Take the Wheel. Because in Orthodoxy, we never let go of the wheel. But Jesus has programmed the navigation computer. And through faith and loving in a love of God, we just have to follow the directions that are given to us. Jesus is our leader. He sets the path to our salvation. He's offering us the cross both to remind us that the road is not always easy, but also to arm us and strengthen us for our journey. Jesus tells us in this gospel that the destination he leads us to is the salvation of our souls. However, we can only follow Christ if we give up all that driving and we let him navigate us through life. Then the gospel adds one more thing. The Lord says, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in his glory with his Father and the holy angels. We are not to be ashamed of God. What does that mean? How could that ever happen to us? Well, remember the first part of the gospel. We're on a journey. It's a difficult journey. It may not be a journey that the world thinks is the right journey. Our journey will look strange to those who don't share our Christian faith. They will be confused by us. Some may make our journey much more difficult or say things that could cause us pain. I'm on this book club online that Dr. Puya Jeannie Constantinou is leading on her book, Thinking Orthodox. And people, and she said this in one of the Q&As at the end of one of the recent sessions. She said, people around the world are being shaped by secular values. We need to recognize that and fight against it. In many ways, the world today is returning to the values of the Roman Empire and of ancient Greece. It's hard to disagree with this point. The search for fame, for glory, for beauty, for whatever and whoever and however we want is what the majority of the world in the 21st century has become. In the Roman Empire, was love your neighbor and forgive your enemy the social standard? No way. Christ said these words in a time when the world around him was thinking, take what your neighbor has and kill your enemy. So even though the world around us, much like the world in Christ's time on earth, doesn't for the most part hold to our beliefs and standards, the Lord is telling us that as we follow him, we must not be ashamed. We must be joyful that we are on this journey and proud to have the Lord leading the way. So how do we do that? What does that look like at work, at the grocery store, at the soccer game, on the bus, at a party, in school? When Christ admonishes us to not be ashamed, he's telling us not only to follow him, but to be Christians while we are on the road, embracing our faith and incorporating it into everything we do is an essential part of the process. That applies to how we interact with our coworkers, our friends, our fellow students, and our neighbors. Because the church knows that this journey through Great Lent is long and can be difficult, in the middle of this journey, it presents us today with the Holy Cross to help us carry on, being strengthened by its presence in our midst. The fast can be likened to the spring of Marah, whose undrinkable waters the children of Israel encountered in the wilderness. But when the holy prophet Moses dipped the wood of his staff into its depths, it became sweet. And likewise, the wood of the cross sweetens the days of the fast, which are bitter and sometimes grievous. So the message today is that we are halfway through our journey towards Pascha. Our leader is Jesus Christ. The path may be challenging, but we have the power of the church, the saints, our Lord, and especially the power of the cross to strengthen us. We are being asked to take this journey, but to let Christ lead us on that journey. And finally, we are asked to live each step of the journey as a follower of Christ, setting our own will aside and focusing on the will of God. We are not to be ashamed, but to march proudly along that path that leads to our salvation. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. Thank you. So before we move to the next part of the